Messiah, our Messiah. Amen. And so during these times, you know, I just want to always declare shalom, 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 because it's what we need to walk in and embrace and give to others, give the peace of God, because the enemy is trying so desperately to create calamity and unrest. So shalom to you, my brothers and sisters. And on a personal level, I want to wish our blessed pastor, Pastor Monette, and our mutual mama, happy birthday. We love you, and we think of you, and even I don't Facebook a lot, but every now and again I do, and I noticed it was your birthday and Mama's birthday, and so from our family to yours, happy birthday, happy blessed birthday. And I also want to thank you for the prayers, you know, over my life and over Pastor Lou's life. We have experienced a couple of, I'm going to call them hiccups along the way. A couple of months ago, I landed in the hospital. I had a kidney stone infection. And then on the heels of that, I came down with some silly, monstrous rhinoviral infection. And so that landed me in the hospital for about 3 days. And that was pretty horrible. And then, you know, coming back on our blessed cruise, thank you for gifting us and being so generous to bless us on our 50th wedding anniversary. To the glory of God, you know, I mean, sometimes the enemy doesn't want you to be in celebration mode, but you have to acknowledge that God is so grateful and thankful to us. He pours his grace upon us. And so on the heels of that, I came back with a problem with my left shoulder and my neck. And so, but, you know, by the grace of God, we're working through that. I'm in physical therapy and, I'm getting motion back into my arm. I'm not in any pain. Thank you for your prayers. You know, when you're in pain, it's very difficult to do anything. And the pain was so intense, but I'm free of pain. And so I'm just declaring that I'm going to be able to raise this arm and I will have motion again because of what Jesus has already declared and done for us. Amen. And so today, you know, I just want to share, as Lou and I just got here on the heels of the prayer that was going on in Pastor Monette's office with Ariseli and Sister Ariseli and Brother Roel. And I said to her, you know what, if we could have recorded that prayer, that's pretty much the message of today, you know. And you know, thank God for such a praying pastor. You know, just be so thankful to God that he has placed over your lives such an intensely hearing of the Lord prayer. She prays the prayers that God is praying, you know, and she hears and she prays his prayers. And she prays it with so much compassion and passion, and never take that for granted. Your pastor is praying over you and praying over these nations, and God is hearing her prayers along with our prayers. Amen. And I know God answers his prayers. So I'm always blessed when I get to hear the prayers and be a part of the prayer that goes on in this church. And so to preface that a little bit, you know, I was so moved by the prayers because when God's people are hearing God praying, they begin to pray and declare and decree and teach and prophesy the same thing. As you know, we've got nothing new. We just want to hear what God's saying and do what God's saying and do what he's doing. You know, what did Jesus say? I do nothing but what the Father does, and I say nothing but what my Father says. And let that be true of us. Let us do nothing but what the Father has done. Let us say nothing but what our Father has said. And so 2 Sundays ago in our church, I prophesied. God gave me a word and to bring it into the assembly, and I prophesied about 2 fires that come and have come upon the land. And this was also before the downpour, the calamity in Houston and the surrounding cities and now in Louisiana. And so the word that God gave me was about these 2 fires that have come and will come intensely upon the land, but most particularly the United States of America. And what he said about the 2 fires, he identified the 2 fires, and he said that 1 fire is of him. It's his fire that God is loosening upon the land, particularly upon his bride. And so that's the holy fire of the Lord that must come upon the land through his bride. He's pouring down fire through you, through me. And that's the holy fire of God. And we need to welcome that, because that's where the purgings and the anointing and the power of God is loosed and released upon the land. But he first must release it upon his bride, the church, you and me, so that we can then take that holy fire to those who are on fire by the devil. Okay? So this fire of God, he said, is his spirit. It's my spirit. It's my will. This is my fire that I want to loose upon my bride so that we can loose it upon the world. And then he went on to describe the other fire that he says is upon the earth today. And I think it's blatant and visible to all. And that is the unholy fire that the enemy is loosing and releasing upon the land. I think you can see that though God is seated on his throne and God is ultimately in control, the nation, and most particularly I speak to America, it's the nation that I live in. America is spiraling out of control. And this is partly due to the unholy fire that the enemy is loosing upon the land. And this fire will consume you unto destruction. God's fire consumes you unto perfection, unto purging, unto burning off the dross, unto burning off the chaff, so that what is left is a holy vessel, honorable unto God, a golden vessel that God can use for his purposes. But the enemy is also loosing a fire to consume you, to destroy you. And he's loosing that upon the land. And his fire is built by bitterness and anger and violence. And we see that in the land today. You know, as deplorable, that was such an excellent word that Araceli used, as deplorable as things are here in America. Lou and I have just gotten back, as I say, from our cruise in Europe. And I want to tell you that as dark as days are here, Europe is darker. Lou and I, it's aesthetically beautiful. We went to places that you go, Italy, Spain, France, Croatia, you know, beautiful places aesthetically, but spiritually so dark. I hungered to go to a church. We were gone for 2 weeks. I hungered to go to a church, and I said, Lou, let's just go to a church. And so he looked to see if there was a Christian church, a charismatic church. And we did find two in the Yellow Pages in Europe on the cruise ship. But one was closed, and one we found out was in a home. And though we tried to locate it to see if where we were, maybe the home was there, we just couldn't connect. It was out of our way. We didn't know how to get there. So I said, I don't care. Let's just go to a church. And so how many know Europe is all about Catholic church? It's the Catholic church throughout Europe. And so I said, I don't care. Let's walk into the church. I want to walk into a church. And we did. And I think it was just Lou, I, and maybe one other couple that was in there. And there was no service going on. They were taking pictures. And this is what is taking place in the Catholic churches through Europe. Tourists are there taking pictures. And we were looking at saints and glorified saints and caskets where they said popes were laid to rest and this one was laid to rest. And so bottom line is it was a dead church. Nothing was there was no life in the church but Lou and myself and the Spirit of God, because how many know he abides within us? And I had a wonderful time with my Lord. I prayed and I asked and I petitioned but I'm here to tell you that there is darkness that is filling the earth. And so when God spoke about two fires, what he's saying is, Church of God, my bride, my church, I need you to be on fire, a holy fire. We need to pray, God, pour down a holy fire to consume us and burn off everything that is carnal and is of the flesh. one fire will consume and lift up and edify and create a godly movement. The other fire, the fire from the enemy, will consume to destroy, infect, create a virus, and quench the fire of the Lord. If he can, but he cannot, unless you and I allow him to. And the fire of the Lord will put us to a test. And I'm going to speak to that a little bit later on. This is not my message, but it is the message of the Lord. The fire of God will make you uncomfortable. The fire of God wants to move us, and it was already said here today in prayer, out of our comfort zones. I think it was the brother who said, we have so much comfort here. And where they went was deplorable. But God sent them there to turn the deplorable into that which is of God. To create miracles and signs and wonders so that where it is deplorable, they see the hand and the glory and the presence and the power and the love of the God that we serve. We can turn the deplorable places into places of beauty that honor God. But he needs the church to do that. So he's going to put us to the test. He's going to test you and me. Listen, I'm not standing here before you telling you that I have passed all the tests. There are distractions in my life. I was talking to my husband. I said, Lou, I find myself caught up in some distractions. If I could break free from those distractions and get more into the Word and meditate on the Word and pray and fast, how much more would God be able to do through his church, through you, through me? But I need to pull away from those distractions. I'm not saying they're evil, nasty things, but anything that pulls us away from God, we need to bind and break in the name of Jesus. Because time is so short. How many know the spirit of the world has entered the church? There is a fire of God in the church of God, but also an unholy fire has also entered the church of God, causing us to want more of the world than wanting the things of God. God is going to put you to the test. I read an article by Mario Murillo. It was a blog on Facebook. And he wrote about, I read that this week, and when I prophesied about the fire, was 2 weeks ago. And today in prayer, when we were in pastor's office, she spoke about fire. Here at the pulpit, she prayed about fire. We were singing songs. There was talk about the fire. God is wanting to get this message across. You and I need the fire of God. We need the power. We need to be imbued by the Spirit of the living God. We need to say no to the world and yes to God. We need to surrender and yield. We need to repent. That's how the world is going to turn. That's how we can win back this world. That's how we can take back. Listen, don't give up on America. I get so discouraged. I'm the first to admit. I get so disappointed. And then I go into that place where I shouldn't go. Then I get angry. And that serves no purpose whatsoever. Serves no purpose whatsoever. God says, don't get angry, don't get discouraged, because you've got the power to take back your nation. And I'm not just talking about this nation. I'm talking about the nations. Mario Murillo said that there is an inconvenient fire that's being loosed upon the earth. He said that and I thought that was so classic, those words. This inconvenient fire is going to be loosed by God himself. Cause you to be inconvenienced. Why? Because it's going to confront you. Your carnality. And I'm talking to me too. Your sin nature. It will strip you of your comfort zones. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to ask you, how much of a Christian are you? That's a powerful question. Can I tell you something that God is going to be asking every one of us soon and very soon if he hasn't asked you already? How much of a Christian are you? How much of me is truly in you? And you're going to have to answer, not Pastor Monette, not me. Going to have to answer him. Father God, Lord Jesus, this much of you is in me. This much, this much, this much. However much is in you, here's the good news. You can have so much more. If you've got this much, you can have more. If you've got that much, you can have more of him. It all depends upon your thirst for him and your hunger for him. How hungry are you for God? How thirsty are you for God? How much do you want God? You say, well, I know God. I know somebody else who said that. We will read that. Moses said, look, I know God, but I want to know him better. How many would ever dispute that Moses really knew God? He walked with him. He talked with him. He had fellowship with him. There was a brotherhood between Moses and God the Father. God said, this is my friend. I can't show you my face, but my glory will pass before you. You, Moses, will see the back of me. They were friends. How many know Moses and God were in a true intimate relationship? And Moses said, I want to know you better. I want to know you more. How much more us? Because I don't think any one of us here would compare ourselves to Moses. How much more you and I need to say to God today, I need to know you more. I want, but I have need to know you more. In fact, go with me to Exodus 33. The book of Exodus. Chapter 33. God is waiting upon his bride to say, I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. He's waiting for those words. Not necessarily that we keep asking for more. And I'm not saying that's bad. God's not saying that's bad. That we ask in prayer, that we petition God in prayer. But God is saying, how many are saying to me, what I want, God, what I want is to know you more. That's what I need. I think I need this. I think I need that. What I truly need, God, is to know you more. Exodus chapter 33. Go with me to verse 13. This is about the promise of God's presence. This is about this. These couple of verses here read and speak about the Lord's glory. I'm going to start in verse 12, actually. Okay, so I'm in Exodus chapter 33. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. God said to Moses, I know you by name. And you have also, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Can I tell you, God knows you by your name. And can I tell you, you're standing here today by the grace of God. I may be wounded, I may be hurting, I may be lame, I may be blind, but I'm standing here today by the grace and the mercy of God, because my God knows my name. And you need to be able to say the same thing. Now therefore, I pray, this is Moses speaking, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your ways, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and then consider this nation as your people. Brothers and sisters, do you understand how powerful this is? This is God promising Moses his presence is manifested upon him and for him, for God's purposes in Moses' life. Can I tell you something? One man was called to deliver up his nation. How many more of us are used to deliver up this nation? God needs one. How many of us are there? I'm going to tell you why this nation is in a mess. It's not because the devil has all this incredible, deplorable power. It's because the church of God for so long, too long, has been sleeping. But she is rising up. I declare that in the name of Jesus. She's rising up because God is talking like he has not spoken before. He is using signs and wonders. Can I tell you something? The people of Houston, the surrounding cities, Texas, Louisiana. Oh, I know God didn't send that, but he's going to use that to bring unity to the churches there, to unite these people, to show the world that it is not about black and white. It's not about male or female. It's not about the older and the younger. It's about the people coming together for one cause, united, saying, I will overcome even this. God will use anything in these days to get his word across, to get his, even a calamity God can turn around. I believe in the name of Jesus that God is going to turn around this calamity. I know there are lives that have been lost, but I'm declaring that there are many more lives that are going to be saved. Many, many more lives that are going to be saved because preachers' eyes have been opened. I believe the bride is now hearing the word of God. I believe the Spirit of God is uniting us because we need to be a united people. It can't be about the Baptist and the Lutheran. It can't be about the charismatics. It can't be about the assemblies of God. It's got to be about the bride of Jesus Christ, the people of God united, one word, one purpose, one accord, one spirit, moving forward as soldiers in God's army, taking back our nation. Taking back America, taking back our schools, our church, our children, the nations. Go with me to verses 17 through 19. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. So the Lord said to Moses, how many know the Lord is speaking to you too? I could put your name in here. So the Lord said to Mary, so the Lord said to Joe, so the Lord said to Araceli, so the Lord said to Monette, so the Lord is saying to you, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. What is this thing? He wanted God's promised presence. I promise you my presence, Moses. I promise you will see my glory. How many would like to see the glory of God descend powerfully? So that no man would be able to deny. This is the God they serve. How many want the presence of God in their home, in their car, in their workplace, in their marriage, in their church? God promised Moses. And God has made a promise to you and me. If you hunger and you thirst for me, if you cry out for me, I will show up in your midst. I will show up and I will show off. I will do the signs and wonders. I will perform the miracles. I will heal the sick. I'll save the lost. I'll deliver the bound. God will do that through who? Through you and through me. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. How many times is God reassuring Moses? I know you. You're my son, Moses. I know you. Make no mistake. And he said, Moses said again then, please show me your glory. Then he, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God himself will proclaim his name before him. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And I think we can stop there for the sake of time. People of God, we must have more of God to do what God has called us to do in these difficult, trying days. And the good news is that it's just as simple as genuinely being hungry and thirsty for God. And like Moses saying, I want more of you. I need more of you in my life. God will share his glory in terms of it coming upon you. God will manifest himself to his bride if his bride hungers for him the way the church did yesteryear, the way our patriots did. Now go with me, please, to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We're going to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. In spite of the world's efforts, in spite of the enemy's efforts, the church will rise up. But I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be part of the rising. I don't want just some of us in the church to rise. I want all of us in the church to rise up. God said, greater things shall you do. Greater exploits shall you do. Why? Because there's so many of us. There's so many of us. And we lack for nothing. We have the authority and we have the power. How many know nations have been given into your hands? We've got to take them for Jesus. Are you with me in Acts chapter 4? I'm going to talk to you about Peter and John, two precious, precious disciples, two of the patriots. I'm going to read, it's going to be a long reading, but I want you to bear with me. In verse 1, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spoke to the people, this is talking about Peter and John, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Why were the people of the day so disturbed? Because these two disciples, Peter and John, preached in the name of Jesus. And they spoke about their God who died, but their God who rose again. That will disturb many people, brothers and sisters. You speaking and preaching and teaching and living your life for Jesus will disturb many people. But here's good news. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, verse 4, somebody say, however. Many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Listen, it doesn't matter who gets disturbed by the word of God. Doesn't matter who resents, who tries to lay hands on you, to put you in arms, to arrest you, to put you away, to quiet you. It doesn't matter because some will believe. Some will be saved by the preaching, the teaching, the living of your word. By being light in dark places, some will believe and be saved. And we thank God for the some that will. It is worth it. Though they got arrested, though they were trying to silence them, it was worth it. Why? Because the word tells us some believed. Some believed and some were saved. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were with the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them this, by what power and by what name have you done this, done what? Healed the lame. When was the last time somebody asked you, in what name and by what power did you cause this one to walk again? We were just told that a group had a one-day mission trip into this area, this deplorable area in the Philippines, and that they were giving love and healing and food and comfort. and just sharing the gospel of Jesus, one day could change the life of someone forever. And how many days has God given us? One day, one moment, one hour can change the world for Jesus. But somebody's got to speak up. Somebody's got to go to the deplorable places. Somebody's got to get up off a pretty comfortable blue chair and go to the faraway places. Somebody's got to send the money. Pastor was talking about the giving. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it's not about the plus that's in the checking account. It's about the minus, and you'll give the minus anyway. What do I mean by that? Sacrificial giving. Well, Lord, if I give this, I'm minus $100 for the rent. Look, I've been there. And I'm not saying that's what you are supposed to do. I'm saying you're supposed to do whatever God tells you to do. There are times when God has said to me, you give it. And I'm going, but Lord, the rent is due on the 3rd. If I give the 100, I don't see how I'm going to make it up in 3 days. My boss isn't giving me a raise. My family hasn't left me an inheritance. Nothing's been coming in the mail in terms of checks, only bills. How am I going to make that $100 up in 3 days? God said, you give it. And I'll tell you what, each and every time, God made it up. I don't know how, Pastor. I'm not supposed to figure how out for you. I can't figure how out for me. But I know when God says it, God is able to do it. God has done it each and every time. With God, it's never a minus. With God, it's always a plus. By what power and by what name have you done this? And I hope that that question is asked more and more of us, more and more often. And that more and more we get to say, by the power of the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. I hope that you and I can get to say each and every day, I was able to be the conduit that God used to cause that man to rise, to cause that girl to see. What power did I use? The power of the name of Jesus. That's how the lost are going to come to church. They don't come because we sing good. They would have come by now because we sing good. Amen? They don't come because Pastor Monette can pray the prayer of God. They'll come when they see signs and wonders and miracles performed by the people of God. And the people of God say, by the power of the name of the God I serve, whose name is Jesus, that has been done today. We need to have that back in the church, people of God. I don't know about you, but we need to walk in this power. This can't just be a nice meeting. Look, I'm part of the church, you know. I'm talking out here, but that means already God talked in here. Do you know what I'm saying? Can't just be a good preaching anymore. We got to be people that walk in the power that God says belong to us. Walk in that kind of authority that when you see a demon, you say, I bind you, demon, in Jesus' name. And he's bound. Why? Not me. What power do I have against an ugly, strong demon? None. But with God, on my side, that demon has no power. You're just the conduit. Listen, we can't just have church meetings. I'm just speaking to the bride. I'm talking to me. By the name of Jesus Christ, drop down with me to verse 9. No, let's go to verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That means he was filled with the power of the Spirit. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, then let it be known to you and to everyone and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, by who? By Jesus. This man stands here before you whole. He stands before you healed. Oh, let these days come back to the church. Let these days come back to the church. We're going to continue in chapter 4. I'm going to skip around a little bit for the sake of time. Go with me to verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other name. Come on, somebody say, there's salvation in no other name. Nobody else, nothing else can save you. Do you know that? Nothing and nobody else can save you but the name of Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We must be saved or we will live eternally in damnation. You and I must be saved. And the only one that can save us, his name is Jesus. Then when they saw the boldness, what did they see? They saw boldness. How many know boldness is visible? Boldness carries with it a certain element of authority. It's not authority taken, it's authority given. Delegated upon a son, a daughter of the Most High. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, oh I love this, that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Let them say of you and me, there goes an uneducated, untrained woman. There goes an uneducated, untrained man. But I perceive that he has walked and been with Jesus. Why? Because there's an anointing on that person. That person walks in a boldness, a power. That person has the fire of God on them. Let them see Jesus in you and through you. Just like they did with Peter and John. You think Peter and John are any different? You think that perhaps at times they didn't get caught up in distractions? I'm sure they did. You think that perhaps at times they didn't get caught up in a sin? We're all sinners saved by grace, says the word of God. It didn't say except Peter and John. So I'm sure they did. But the same God who forgave them forgives us. But Peter and John, here's one thing that makes them perhaps different. They had a hunger and thirst for God. They wanted so much more of him. And they took God at his word. They took him at his word. Verse 14, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Drop down with me to verse 18. So they called them and commanded them. So who called them? So the Sadducees, so the priests, so all those names that I mentioned when I first started out in chapter 4. So they called them, who's them? Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there is a day coming where they're going to tell us you can't speak in the name of Jesus. There's a day coming to this nation where they're going to tell you you can't walk the streets with a Bible in your hand. They're already telling you you can't pray in the schools. You can't pray on football fields. At graduations, you can't mention the name of Jesus. Don't talk about God, lest we offend others. There's a day coming where they're going to want to strip us of our religious rights. But I thank God this day for the president over these United States of America who has declared yet another national day of prayer in the midst of the ridicule, in the midst of mocking Christians, in the midst of ridiculing God. This president has stood up in the eye of the storm and has said, this nation, I declare a national day of prayer. We will pray for Texas. We will pray for Louisiana. We will pray. Who's he talking to? Those who don't know God? He's talking to you. He's talking to me. I thank God for the courage. You may not like him. You may disagree with everything. But he has stood up in the eye of the storm, everything that's coming against him, and said, we as a nation will pray. Praise Jesus. The devil hates him. But I got news for you, whether you like him or not, God loves him. That's who put him in place. I'm not going to keep going there. I don't want to get political. Let me move back. Can I say something? You know what else has got to come back to the church of God? The gifts that he's given us. Listen, I don't care. I don't want to go to church meetings. I don't. I want to go where God shows up. I want to go where the people of God understand who they are in Christ Jesus. What God has given them. Walking in it. Look, you're a baby in Christ Jesus, then babies need to learn just to swallow hard food. Right? Baby's born at its mama's breast. It has learned in the womb how to swallow. But then mama, papa have to teach the baby how to now be weaned and go on to hard food. Can I tell you, it's the day of hard food for the church. It's time for the bride of Christ to walk in the gifts that he has given us. And we can't be embrace some and reject others, because some are very controversial. I am going to go there. We all like, how many say, I like the healing gift because I've been a recipient of the healing gift. How many here have ever been healed where the doctors couldn't, God did? Raise your hands. How many like then the healing gift? How many know that God is the healing God? But he puts a healing gift on his people to by hands, lay hands on them by faith and declare, thou art healed and made whole. How many like that? How many like the miracle God we serve? When no man can do it, when it's impossible for man, when it looks like, it's like God only you because you're the God of miracles and God performs a miracle. How many like that? We embrace that. Some other gifts we don't like. Some places they don't like when people rise up and say, I got a word of knowledge. Shh, sit down. We don't do that in this church. I got a prophetic utterance from the Lord. Shh. Sit down. We don't do that in this church. I got a word in tongues for somebody to interpret. Shh, we don't pray in tongues in this church. Can I tell you something? A powerless church is a church that refuses to walk in the gifts that God has given them, because they are for the edifying of the brethren. It's for when the lost come out there and go, what is going on in that church? The gifts of God are moving in that church. It's time. It's time. Because let me tell you, the devil is stepping up. The devil is stepping up. What he is doing in the schools, transgender, neutral gender, I can't even remember all the transgendering things that are going on right now. And we need to pray about those things. You and I need to come against that. That's evil. That's not of God. If it were, God would have made a transgender. But he didn't. He made man and he made woman. And if God needs to perform surgery, he knows how. People of God, embrace the gifts of God. Walk in them because you can. Walk in them because you're right. You don't walk in them because you don't hunger for them. I'm talking to the church. You get hungry for something. I tell you what, has anybody here ever been hungry? Really? Okay. I've not suffered hunger, but I've gone through, you know, times when, honey, I'm so hungry. When are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? That kind of hunger. But I'm not talking about the hunger where you don't eat for days. I've never thankfully experienced that. I know people, there have been times when they have not been able, there's no food anywhere. And I mean, that's another state of hunger that I have never experienced. But I have been hungry when I have said, oh my gosh, it's 5 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock, we haven't eaten yet, I'm hungry, I'm starving. How many of us will say that? I'm hungry, I'm starving. You're not really starving, but you are hungry. And then what? And then when you grab a sandwich of anything, two pieces of cheese on a stale bread. You just devour that thing because you're hungry. Well, we got to get that hungry for the things of God. How hungry are you to walk in the power of God? How hungry are you to walk in the gifts of God? It's not good enough that the church down the street is flowing in all the gifts of God. God wants this church, that church, that church, every one of his churches flowing in the power and in the gifts that he has already given us. So I ask you today, how hungry are you? How much of a Christian are you? It's not for me to judge. It's for you to answer. Okay, so let's continue here. Verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But, somebody say but. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to listen to our God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, that means they went further in their threats. They had already arrested them. They had already tied them up. They had already silenced them. So now they're even going further in their threats. One wonders what else they were going to do. Maybe torture or kill them. I don't know. How many know there are Christians today dying for Jesus Christ? There are many Christians around the world that refuse to say, I don't believe in Jesus. Refuse to give up their faith. How many know they're dying? They're dying. And God is just asking. Some are dying. I'm asking others to just rise up. You know what? I got some kind of fire going on in me because I can't even see through my glasses. Maybe mine is called menopause. I don't know. But and verse 23, and then being let go, they went to their own companions. That means they went to their own church. They went to their own brethren and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Verse 24, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God, they being all the brethren, that whole group of brethren that was gathered with them, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. In other words, for what purpose did the nations do this? Don't they know that our God is the one true God, the Almighty God, he who created heaven and earth? He's the one that's still in control. Amen. And he still is today. And then drop down with me to verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, in other words, grant us, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. Brothers and sisters, you are no different to God than Peter and John. Boldness is what God wants you to walk in. What do I mean by boldness? Walk in that given authority, that God-given authority. You are empowered for this day. You know why you're living in this day and not 100 years ago? Because this is the day that God needs you for what's going on in the earth today. He knew what would be going on today. He's needing these young people, but he's needing us too. He's needing all of us, and that's why we're still here today. We've been empowered. We're conduits of his anointing. You and I are vessels of his power. You and I are vessels of the anointing of God, of the fire of God, to be able to do what? Exactly what Jesus did when Jesus walked the earth. And heaven forbid that you and I remain silent. Heaven forbid. May we not be participants of the evil that's going on around us by being quiet. How many know? If you're silent, you're complicit because you've said nothing. What do I mean by that? You're complicit means you're part of the evil that's going on because you refuse to speak truth. You refuse to be the light in the dark places. We refuse to tell people that there is a Savior, there is a healer, there is a miracle worker, and He's on the throne. And we need to tell people, and this is why I have to always go to God, because as I said, when I get so discouraged and disappointed by what I see, I get a little angry. And I know that's not what God would want. It's my soul. It's my soul that gets angry. But I'm reminded that God said, Aida, my joy is your strength. If you lose my joy and give place to anger, you will not be strong enough to engage in this battle. And so I say to you, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen? Amen? This fire of these last days, I'm going to close with this, is going to be inconvenient. It's going to be mostly inconvenient for the church of God, because it's going to reveal to us where we are in our walk with Jesus. But how many know the gospel is the gospel of good news? Wherever you are today, you can be further. You can be deeper in your relationship with Jesus. You can have the relationship that Moses had with God. Do you know that? You can have the exact same where God says to Moses, I know your name. I know you. My glory will go before you. The word of God says that face to face they spoke. Not that Moses could see his face, but when God spoke to Moses, he could see his face, and Moses couldn't see God, but God was right there talking to him. Not a far off relationship, but an in your face relationship. What I'm talking about is a hands-on relationship. Engaging in Jesus Christ. Engaging in God. Let's go ahead and stand up. How many know God needs to change us? If you're complacent and you're comfortable, it's hard for God to use you. Can I tell you, you got to see your need. Listen, I go before God and I say, God, I'm lacking in this, I'm lacking in that. And God says, I'm glad you see your need. Now rise up because I can fill it. I can change that need and make it a plus. God sometimes needs to change you so that He can remake you. You know, God is a transforming God. Listen, when I first accepted Jesus Christ, I was 8 years old. How many know I've changed a little bit since I was 8 years old? My relationship with God has changed since I was 8 years old. I met Him as Christ the healer. That's how I met God. I first knew Him as my healer, and then I knew Him as my Savior. But over the course of my years, I have needed more than a healer. I've needed a God who provides. I needed a God who comforts. I needed a God who encourages me. I needed a God to strengthen me. I needed a God to show me His ways so that I could walk in His ways. I have needed more of God. And guess what? As a revelator, He has revealed more of Himself to me. How much more do you need of God? He will reveal Himself to you. And so today, my prayer, I want to pray this over you, and I want to minister this to you. I want you to acknowledge where your need is. I'm not talking about asking God for things. A new car, a new house, a widescreen TV, more clothes, more jewelry, a vacation. Those things are good, and I thank God for them. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about you have need of God. Let Him identify in the crevices, your inward part. Lord, I just need to trust you more. Not in what I see, but just to trust you. I have need in that area. I need to hear your voice. I have need to hear you speak to me, to give me the plan, to give me the strategy, so I know which way to go, what direction to take. I need you to talk to me. The doctor has given me a horrible diagnosis. But I need for you to reassure me that by your stripes I have been healed. I need for you to tell me that my marriage is not over until you say it's over. Lord, I need for you to tell me that my son's coming home, that my daughter's coming home. I need for you to reassure me, you and your household shall be saved. What do you have need of? I want the glory of God in my house, in my workplace. I want his presence wherever I go. Lou and I were just on this beautiful vacation that God graced us with, and it was so dark. I needed to know God was there in Europe on that cruise ship with us. Why? Because the spirit of the world was so large. And it wants to, I'm telling you, it wants to pull you in. Wants to pull you in. Yeah, and just give in here and just a little there and just a little. And before you know it, he's got you hooked by your nose so you can't even breathe. I want to pray over you a new boldness. A new boldness. Trusting God implicitly. He says it and so it is. He said he will provide. He will provide. He said he will heal my marriage. He will heal my marriage. He said my kids are coming off drugs. My children are coming off drugs. He said my son, my daughter will be saved. My son, my daughter will be saved. He said, by your stripes I already healed you. By your stripes then I am healed. You got to declare that and believe it and confess it over yourself, over your loved ones, over your city, over this nation, in your church. A new boldness. And I'm praying that the gifts of God will be in demonstration. Don't be ashamed of the gifts. If you're going to be shy about anything, don't be shy about God and what he's given you. Break shyness. Oh, I can't tell you how many times people tell me, that's not my way. It's not my personality. I'm very timid. Break that in the name of Jesus. I used to be so shy. I used to be so timid. I would speak and people would go, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? Because I talk like that. And now people are saying, shh, bring it down a little bit. Bring it down a little bit. It's not me. It's what God has put in me. I needed to change for his glory. You need to change for his glory. Changes need to be made so that we can win our world for Jesus. Listen, I thank God for the one person. If it was only one person that was touched by the love of God, who knows what that one person will do tomorrow? And when it's multitudes, like we just read about Peter and John, they were told to be silent. Don't talk his name. Don't preach in his name. Don't even mention his name. And they said, wait a minute. I'm not to listen to you. I'm to listen to my God. Nevertheless, they arrested them and they put them away. But what did God say in his word? Nevertheless, many believed and many were saved. Listen, sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice that blue chair. Pastor and I just had a beautiful phone call before we got here to the church on the way here. When we were pastoring our church, we had this beautiful couple, brother Sebastian and his wife Rita Cordova in our church. And we mentored them. They were spiritual son and daughter. And how many know your pastor's DNA comes on you? It gets in you. It's a God thing. She's not doing anything. It's just what God's doing through her unto you because you are her sons. You are her daughters. So her DNA, just like your mama and papa, you will look like your mama. You will look like your papa. You look like grandma. That's all DNA. And so they have our DNA in them. And he felt a call. He's from Peru. And he felt a call to go back to Peru and pastor there and start a church. And I can't tell you how happy that made Lou and me. Because how many know you want to send your sons and daughters out? Go to the world. And he said, I'm called to go back to my nation. And we said, go to Peru. Win the lost for Jesus. And we ordained him and we prayed over him and we sent. And his wife, you know, the interesting thing, his wife didn't want to go. And she said, I'm not going, Pastor. I'm not going. I'm not going. And I said, Rita, as much as I love you, you're going. I'm kicking you out. You are going. I don't want to go. I'm not called. Da, da, da. I said, you're called. You're going. And we would go back and forth. I'm not going. I'm not. You're going. You're going. She went. She is so on fire. And we were on the phone talking with her. She began to cry. She says, I can't tell you for how thankful I am that even when we didn't want to, you guys just shipped us out and said, you're going. You're going to do the work of God. You're anointed. You're called. And so he called us today to let us know, to let us know, not only, and Lou has been there, I think, 2 or 3 times now to help him because he's our son. And so we're helping him, right? And so, and to help plant his church. And so Lou's been there on 2 or 3 different mission trips to see how he's doing and if they have any problems to work it out for him. But most important, he called us to tell us he has planted now, this will be his 3rd church. And so before he could say another word, we said, we want to support your churches. We have helped him. But with these 2 new ones, we're going to finance, we're going to support. And you could just hear the tears. He said, oh my gosh, Pastor, we need a roof. How many know it's not like a building here, just a tin roof, you know? We need chairs, we need, you know. And so what a harvest, Pastor. What a harvest, because his blessing is our blessing, is your blessing, is the world's blessing. And so, like Pastor said, you know, your seed, you don't know. When we prayed over them and sent them out, we believed God. We trusted God was going to use them. Today, now, they're planting their 3rd church. You don't know how far your seed is going to go and how many lives it's going to touch and change and impact. By $1. $1. One Starbucks drink can change a life. I'm telling you. Can change a life. And so today, you know what, without any further, because it's the fire of God, you know, he wants us to have it, and I want you to have it. And I'm not saying you don't have it, but I want you to have more. So before I just keep on going. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray right now, Lord. I want to pray over this church, Lord Jesus. I want to pray over this congregation, this group of people, these men, these women, these children today, Lord. I thank you that you are blessing them, Lord, abundantly, increasingly, abundantly, beyond what they can think or imagine. I decree that those blessings overtake them in Jesus' name. But Father God, I want to come against those, Father God, who might have wound up so subtly in a comfort zone, Lord Jesus. I say loose them and release them from their comfort zones. Wherever they become complacent, Lord, break the spirit of complacency, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will change, remake whatever needs to be done so that we can be a bride on fire for you, on fire for the cause of Christ across the land. Father God, I am declaring over them a spirit of boldness come upon them, a spirit of authority overtake them in Jesus' name, that the holy fire of God will consume them. The holy fire, purge, burn off, Lord Jesus. Pour in your anointing. Pour in your power, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rebashe. Lord, I want the gifts of God in demonstration across the churches of God. Let people know that we flow in the prophetic. We flow in the word of knowledge, in the word of wisdom. We pray in tongues. We interpret, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are supernatural spirits, Lord Jesus. We're not just ordinary people. We're extraordinary, Lord, because you abide in us. We flow in the supernatural, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that we are reminded today that the devil is defeated and he is under our feet. That we preach and we teach a Christ resurrected, a living God to a living bride, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That even for Texas, Lord, right now, Lord, as the president has declared a national day of prayer, churches across the land, Father God, across these United States are praying, interceding and fasting, Father God, that this thing, this unholy, deplorable tide that has come across the land be turned around. That, Father God, what is evil will come turned into holiness. What is hatred will become love, Lord Jesus. What is bitter will become peace, Lord Jesus. Father God, that when we are disappointed and discouraged, Lord Jesus, we'll become hopeful once again, encouraged once again. We are soldiers in God's army, and we're marching on into victory, Lord Jesus. And so I just thank you, Lord, that you are stirring the waters of life. Today we stir the living, let the fire fall, but we are going to stir the living waters of life, Lord Jesus, in our church, in our homes, in our nation, Lord Jesus. And so we just thank you, Lord. Have your way in our lives. Have your perfect work in our lives. The unifying work of God, unify the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We declare this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the same name that Peter spoke of, the same name that John prayed in, the same name that they performed the miracles in, the healings in. It's that name, the name of Jesus, that we declare today, Lord, is our King, is our Savior, is our Redeemer. You are everything, Lord Jesus. And we declare once again today, this nation under God, indivisible, Lord Jesus, we shall stand united for the cause of Jesus Christ, Lord. We declare this in our nation, Lord. We declare this to the nations, Lord. We declare this in the church of God, not divided, but united in the name of Jesus for the cause of the gospel. And so I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That you have done a new thing today. It's a fresh and new anointing, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the spirit of boldness that has come upon this body of Christ. Lord, I expect them, Lord Jesus, to walk as you walk, to talk as you talk, to live as you've lived, Lord Jesus, to do as you did, Lord Jesus. It is time. These are the days where you and I must be dispellers of darkness. Dispelling darkness. Dispelling darkness wherever it exists, Lord Jesus. Lord, I declare to you today that you are pruning us from our carnality. You are taking in and controlling the flesh that's upon this body, Lord. Until we are spirit beings supremely, Lord Jesus. We're supernatural, Lord Jesus. We're extraordinary, Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that roams about this world. Hallelujah. We win in and through Christ Jesus. We have the victory in Jesus. Take back your nation. Take back your church. Take back your children. Take back your schools and your cities. Take the job place back for Jesus. Declare it holy ground. We give you, Father, all the praise. We give you all the glory. If there's anyone here today that has never ever experienced or heard about this Jesus who we have declared today is the only one that can save. Save us from not. Save us from hell itself. There is a heaven and there is a hell. You don't want to go to hell. If you think this is hot, you have no idea. If you think you have seen torment and torture, you have no idea. We need to be saved from that. And Father God made a way for us to be spared that eternally. Through his son, Jesus Christ. And what he said that we must do is believe in our heart. Just believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that the Father sent the Son to save us. So if you have never made that confession, I just want to invite you. I encourage you. I say make the confession today. How many know Texas was not prepared for the calamity? Can I tell you? If you don't know Jesus, you're not prepared for the calamity that's coming. We are. We read the end of the book, and Jesus is with us. I want him to be with you. If that's you, if you've never made that confession, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you even to come up here. Just raise your hand. If you've never made that confession, I'm not even going to ask you to come up here. Just right where you are. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have declared today that in our midst, we are all saved. By your grace and by your mercy. In our midst today, we are all family in and through Christ Jesus. And so I thank you that this is a miracle in our lives. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Monette.
The Lord is not done yet. Praise God. And when you and I talk about the amazing grace of God, there's a group that would exalt that Jesus, He is the God of grace. You know, as they minister to us through a song. You know how the Spirit of God would flow in every type of worship service. And so I'm going to call on the women who, Sister Janet, the group that's going to sing. Praise the Lord. And so let's just be in awe and just receive, even from the message of the song. And they're doing that as unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
You know, we're so blessed because in other parts of the world, you know, they don't have pastors, and we're so blessed, you know, to have a pastor. And that's why she has celebrated her birthday on Wednesday, and we would like to honor Pastor Monette from the children and also the youth and, you know, the congregation. We'd like to honor her. Because in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says there that the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So, and so we would like to honor her. We'd like to call the Sunday school children to render song for them, for her.
Happy birthday.
Wants to honor Pastor Monette, they also will render a song for them. Hannah and Emily, representing the young people.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Hello? Hello? Hello, everybody. So today we're going to be singing a song called Loyal by Lauren Daigle. But before we begin, we'd like to share a few verses from the Bible that really stood out to us.
It's Proverbs 3:3-6. Never let go of loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them around your neck. Write them on your heart. If you do this, both God and people will be pleased with you.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Yeah. Remember the Lord is in everything you do, and he will show you the right way.
I can never earn your heart. I can never reach that far. But you will pull me close. You'll never let me go. I'm safe forever in your arms. Your promises I cannot break. And I know you will never change. Your love is loyal. Your love is loyal, more faithful than the rising sun. This grace for me, I can't outrun. Your love is loyal.
You were always there for me. You listen every time I speak. You look into my eyes. You see the things I hide and say that you'll never leave. Promises I cannot break. And I know you'll never change. Your love is loyal. More faithful than the rising sun. This grace for me I can't outrun. Your love is loyal.
When my world shakes, your love remains unshaken. So constant, so powerful.
constant, so perfect, unwavering. Your love is loyal.
Your love is loyal. Your love is loyal. More faithful than the rising sun.
This grace for me I can't outrun.
Your love is loyal.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Rupa will sing our group of women, and they will also honor Pastor Minette.
Happy birthday. I was going to prepare a message, but I think I'll just freestyle it. I just want to say thank you so much for being just an inspiration to me every day of my life. You help me get out of darkness, and you become like a mom role model to me for 29 years, and you're still going. So I look up to you so much, and I just want you to be strong and, you know, stay faithful and loyal to everything that you do, because you are truly a gift to this church and to the family, and I love you very much.
We love you, Pastor Manette.
We love you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We're truly amazed by the love of God. And, you know, Pastor Manette, he's really been used by God to express his love for all of us. Amen. And that's why this moment, I'd like everyone to stand up, and we will pray for Pastor Manette and extend your and send, stretch forth your hands upon her. I would like to request Pastor Aida and Pastor Louis. Sorry, Pastor Lou, just pray for.
Okay. You want to come up here? All right. You know, I have met many pastors in my life. Hundreds of pastors in my life. And there are few who truly love their sheep. Some do it as a job. Some do it because they love God. And then some do it because they love God and their sheep. And what I have experienced with Pastor Monette, what we have experienced with Pastor Monette over the 9 years that we've been with you, is that she has expressed nothing but love to us and to you in no uncertain terms. There has been ups and downs in all of your lives, and she has still been there with you. As a church, you went through something big, and she was right there with you. And she stuck it out with you. And she led you. And she took you to higher ground. The higher ground where the Lord was waiting for all of you. To have the victory, to walk in that victory. And so it's a great privilege for me to pray over your pastor this morning. And so if you would just be in agreement and bless her in any way you know or you can, bless her, because that's what the Word tells us to do. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, because you made this possible. You brought her into our life and formed a bond immediately. And we thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that over the years between her sheep and us, Almighty God, we have been privileged to receive the love that is in her. And I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that this is just but a milestone in her life. I don't know how old she is. I won't ask how old she is. I'll let you guys figure it out. But I know one thing. You put us in contact with a saint of yours, O precious Father, with a servant unto you, O precious God. Serves you with all of our heart and all of our soul, our mind and spirit, Almighty God. And I thank you for that, Almighty God, as I'm sure the church does also. And as the Word says, that she is worthy of double honor. And so we thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that the church cherishes her as her their pastor, Almighty God. And what I have seen today is an exuding love from them to her, O precious God. As she has loved them, she have loved her, O precious God. You can't buy that. You can't create that. That is given. That love is given. That kind of love is given freely. And so I thank you for her, Almighty God. I thank you, Father, for the strength you've put in her. I thank you for the love you put in her, the peace, the joy, the comfort that you have put in her. And most importantly, I thank you, Father, for the Word you've put in her, Almighty God. For the Spirit of the living God that lives in her, O precious God. And I thank you, dear gracious Father, that this is just but the beginning of where she's going. She moves on to yet another journey, O precious Father. I thank you for this day, Father. It's a day that you have made for her specifically. You named her by name, Almighty God. You picked her out. You brought her here. And you blessed her, O precious God. And I thank you for her, Almighty God. that in the precious name of Jesus and all the mightiness of your word, that that word never leave you. Let the love of God never depart from you, because it never will. It's a promise that we have from God. And I thank you, Lord, that you make her stronger every day. Stronger in you. Bolder for you. And I thank you for her fire, mighty God. For her fire that is alive in her. Oh, precious Lord. And so we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we receive it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you so much.
To you. Happy birthday, dear Rudy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Da 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 da. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Da 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 da.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Please be seated for a while. I know it's quite an extension, but I'm humbled. And thank you so much for your kindness, for your generosity, and for your prayers, and above all, for your loving support. Because we're in this together. We're in this together in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so thank you so much, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Iyida, that you're here with us. Of course, number one is to honor the Lord. Amen. But, you know, as we take our second offering, you know, I am so stirred up today. I don't know about you, but I'm so passionate. The more, you know, the message is that we receive that holy anointed fire of the Spirit of God. You know, for some of you, most of us who drive cars, you know, that car won't drive if you won't maintain it, if there's no oil or gas. And it's the same way in our walk with God. Be filled with the anointing of the Spirit of God. In whatever capacity that God has called you to serve, continue. And let me just take this opportunity. I'm so blessed that to announce that on September 23rd, we're going to go back to Newport Dunes. I'm so blessed that every year we're baptizing people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And like what was said earlier, you know, being part of, you know, the work of God, it's actually our privilege to serve. When God has called you and me to serve, it's our privilege. Amen. And so let's do it with, you know, with that oomph and that fire and that boldness and fervency. Amen. And so thank you so much. I'm so blessed to be a part of this family of God. Amen. And as we take a second offering, I would even challenge, you know, give your best. Because as we are hearing how, you know, the Gideon partnership, you know, it's, you know, you and I are blessed to know that the gospel of our Lord Jesus is bearing fruit all over the world. Now in Peru, look at that. Amen. So as we call on, you know, the ushers, but let's thank the Lord first for what God has blessed us with today. And know that in our giving, it goes a long way. Praise God. Father God, we declare that truly Jesus is the God of salvation. No other name given to us by which we must be saved. And there's so many more people who needs to hear this message. And so, Father God, we are so thankful for the open doors of opportunity you've given us as a church, and even for the ministry that you've entrusted to Pastors Lou and Pastor Iyida. And so, Lord, we are so thankful that we can give towards the cause of the gospel of our Lord. We're excited, Lord, the coming days and weeks as you tarry, that God, you said in your word that the end will come when the gospel is preached to every part of the world, oh God. And so, Lord, we are thankful that we can be a part of this in our praying, in our giving, and sending forth more missionaries all over the world, oh God. And so, Lord Jesus, we exalt your name. We give you the highest praise that is due you alone. In your mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
I just wanted to share something because the men's advance is coming up this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You don't have to stay there. You're going Friday. Obviously, you will stay till Saturday, but you don't have to stay. But that means you got to drive all the way back. So we hope that those of you who are going on Friday are staying on Friday. Then Saturday you can stay, or right after the meeting you can come home, because there's nothing on Sunday morning. But I want to encourage. We have 4 rooms reserved. And I think, how many? Nelson. Nelson, my brother. Anyway, how many men do we have going? Do we know?
I think from my last count, it's like, 7 of you or 8 of you?
Oh, 7 or 8. We may have to get another room. How many people do we have?
No.
Just how many people do you have?
From the last count, we had like 7
or 8. 7 or 8, because somebody's going to come on the Saturday.
Okay, all right. So we got 7 or 8 men. So I was going to say, one of you can stay with me if you have over, can stay with me on Friday night, because I have room in my room. And so, in fact, I'm going to make it free to you. Hello.
Praise the Lord.
Who's going to jump up and take it? You know, it doesn't matter to me. Whoever winds up with me, I'll leave that up to Brother Nelson. If you want to be with me, that's okay too. I don't know about that. Is that okay? Is he okay to have in the room with me? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. But I want to impress upon you that if you still want to go, we can get more rooms. If you really want to go, but we need to know today, because we would have to reserve them today. Okay? So please be encouraged. Be encouraged to go, because it will change your life. And I just wanted to add one thing, because when I love to hear my wife preach. And when they get together between the two of them, they start praying, and they start, the devil runs when these two get together. And that's good. That's a good thing. These are the kind of women you want praying for you. Many of the women that hung out with Jesus were prayers. I mean, they were praying women. Oh, man, I'm telling you. But I just wanted to leave something with you about this, because as a mother, as a father, as an uncle, as a senior in your generations, in your family, if you don't put this boldness on you, if you don't receive this boldness and walk in this boldness in the name of Jesus, your children will not walk in that boldness. You see, because your children are going to do exactly the same thing you do. If you walk weak, they're going to walk weak. You need to put that seed in them. They need to see it in you. You see, I remember when I first became a Christian, and we were Baptists, and we'd go to church, and we'd come back. We weren't excited because we didn't know enough about the Word yet. And Baptists are normally quiet. When they say praise God, they mean praise God. They don't mean this. When you sing, I lift up my hands, they don't lift their hands. All right? I'm not saying, I don't want to, don't even go there with the Baptists. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. But let me just say that when I came to know about this boldness that they spoke about Peter in that scripture, that I know that you have been, I can see that you're not even educated or trained. You don't have it, but yet it's in you. We need to get it. We need to get it. You need to go after it. This is not something that's going to come to you unless you go to it. It will attach. That's why the Word says, come to me and I will come to you. So we need to take the first step. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, brothers and sisters. This is a great celebration. Yes, it's to celebrate a birthday and to celebrate the boldness of Christ that's in you. It's in you. Begin to confess that over yourself. Get excited about life. Get excited about anything that happens in your life. Get excited about going to the bathroom or something. But get excited. Amen. You know, your kids get excited when they go to the bathroom, don't they? Mommy, I got to go to the bathroom. And they scream and they yell. Right? But we grow up and we get very conservative. Sorry, excuse me, I need to go. But kids don't do that. And what are we supposed to be like in heaven? Like children. In other words, we should be excited. Should we go after it? I'm telling you something. God has put something in me today that I know I'm taking to Cuba. I'm taking it to Cuba. I've told my wife this. And I know what I'm taking is going to be exciting for them. It's going to be exciting because remember, they're communists. So they live under oppression. They praise God, they worship God, but they don't do it with a lot of fire. I'm telling you, if you think you got a lot of fire, when you just got the little bit burning here, We've got a forest fire we can go after. Amen? Do it. Walk out of here with that fire. Have it stay where you work, where you live, wherever you go. Bring that fire out. Because the moment you mention Jesus, you're by yourself with Him. Amen. It doesn't matter if somebody agrees with you. Hey, you're sick? Let's pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Okay.
Praise the Lord. This is what happens when you and I get filled up with the Spirit of God. Thank you so much, Pastor Luke, because let me say this. It won't be business as usual when the Spirit of God comes down upon you and me. Hallelujah. You and I would go, when you're working, you go to your workplace fired up. Even if you're a single mom or you're just at home, you will be on fire that you're going to spend your time praying. Hallelujah. Even while cooking. Hallelujah. Or wherever we go. The Spirit of God is upon you. If you received it today, praise the Lord. It's His transforming power. Amen. So let's pray. Let's just thank the Lord for this time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, what a day. What a day to honor you, oh God. To believe that the God that we serve is alive. Hallelujah. The ever true living God is in our midst, Lord God. Still in the business of changing lives. Strengthening us. Empowering us. Filling us with your Spirit, hallelujah. Lord, oh God, you satisfy the hungry heart. You never disappoint those who are hungry for you, those who continually put their trust in you. You have called us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God. No matter what's going on around us in the natural, what we hear in the natural, our ears are in tune to the voice of the Spirit of God. We will listen to you when you speak. We will obey, oh God. Because, Lord, it's the Spirit of grace that's upon your people. No longer, Lord God, passive, but, Lord, filled with the Spirit of God. With such boldness, oh God, to do, Lord God, what you have called us to do. We receive by faith today the unction of your Spirit, the anointing of your Spirit. As the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we will preach the gospel, Lord God, to those people you would, Lord, bring our way. There will be a mighty and divine intersection that's about to happen, Lord God, in the coming days and weeks, oh God. Lives will be brought to us. And we will share unashamedly the gospel of our Lord. No more passivity, no more negativity, but Lord, to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so Lord, thank you for your faithful people in this body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the partnership, even with Pastor Lou and Pastor Ayida. Lord God, you have called us as a whole body of Christ. We are in this together, Lord God, to pray for one another, encourage one another, to know and be reminded that our labor is never in vain, never, never in vain, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you for the fruitfulness. We are going to see it, oh God, and be encouraged, Lord, by your Spirit, oh God. And so, Lord, I speak your blessings, continuous blessings upon your people today in every aspect, in spirit, in soul, and in body, oh God, that, Lord, we will continually be a conduit, Lord, of your blessings, a channel of your blessings. Thank you, Father God, for it's the life of Christ living in us and flowing through us, oh God. As we commit to you the remainder of this day, oh Lord, we thank you, oh God, that in our midst, oh God, your presence is right here. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, oh God. Lord, it's not about how young we are or how old we are, oh God. You're raising up many more Joshuas and Calebs, oh God. Caleb in his 80s, oh God, he said, oh, I'm so ready to climb up more mountains for the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, God, we even pray for our seniors, oh God, that, Lord, the day's coming, that they would experience something different. Amen. Something different, oh God, because it's the Spirit of God flowing through them. And even our young people, oh God, and our children, Lord, everyone will be a blessing. And we declare that, oh God, all for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready to celebrate the love of God today? As we call on our praise and worship team. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, when we worship the Lord, His presence comes on, but He's already here. And so we're going to entertain Him. We're going to give Him the glory. Come on, praise our worship team. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you so much. Glory to God.
From the New and Living Way Christian Church. And we agree with you, Pastor. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Thank you so much. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
All right. Yes. We'll sing.